the church in the 50s getting a local church into a national BBC, it's just never going to happen, really. But now there's a great opportunity because of the internet and because of the new media that is so available to different people, and because anyone can really make a media, that anyone can send their own message out there. It's a big opportunity for churches.
So what's that going to look like? Hello and welcome to Independence, the FIEC podcast. My name is Adrian. I'm head of national ministries for FIEC, and I'm joined today by Phil Topham, who's our executive director.
Hello, Adrian.
Hello, Phil. And by Joel Murray, who's our communications guru. Now, you've got a proper title, but we call you our communications guru.
I'll be a guru. I don't mind.
You'll be a guru.
Hello.
Now, we're talking about quite a niche subject today, but actually a really important one, which is we're trying to help think through how churches can engage with their local communities through media, old media, new media. We'll think about a bit about that as we go along. But it's worth just saying, we've got a background here, haven't we, in media.
Yep.
So it's worth just saying, you know, we do know a little bit about what we're talking about, just a little. We've all been involved in various kinds of media. Some of us a long, long time ago. We've all got faces for radio. That's the first thing to say.
Absolutely. True.
And that's pretty important. You'll see that if you're watching live on video. Phil, just give us a little bit of background so we can know a little bit about who you are and your experience.
Well, I trained as a journalist, specifically as a radio journalist. So I did that from...
Was that driven by the face for radio?
Yeah, absolutely right. But, you know, from about 2002 until about 2011, so about 9 years, I worked on the radio. So I read the news for radio stations. I did football commentary, sports reporting, all that kind of thing. So yeah, that was a very exciting period of life, but that's what I used to do.
I'm very impressed by the sports commentary because I've always thought that's a really hard skill, remembering the names, and you've probably got some stories.
Many stories. I remember once having to ask one of the Everton coaches to plug my feedback in as it come out. So I got to nudge this guy who's gathering all the statistics to take into the Everton dressing room, and Muggins here is asking him to plug my feedback in.
So off. Phil's book, When Radio Goes Wrong, is available from all good booksellers. And Joel, just tell us a little bit about your background. You've joined the FIC fairly recently, actually. So tell us where you came from to come and join us.
I studied media production, which was from studios like TV shows through to doing films and radio and all that kind of stuff. I did digital media in my last year, which was a specialist. And then I was doing digital marketing, which was, it was mainly digital, but it was all sorts of PR and stuff. I think my favorite memory is giving an interview to the local TV station on the walls of Lincoln Castle talking about dogs.
Wow.
There's a number of questions.
Where do you want to start?
Lincoln has a local TV station.
Yeah, well, it's BBC.
Oh, I see. All right.
Look North. Yeah, okay. They cover Lincolnshire.
Fantastic. Good. So I've got the BBC established man on my left, and I've got the kind of Heart FM.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the commercial man.
The commercial
very
man.
Much
on
the
right.
Commercial man. Yeah.
My only link, really, to me, well, I've a long time ago, I was once asked by Mohammed Al-Fayed to run his radio station for him.
Wow.
That's it. That's the level of my expertise. the short story, I said no. And here I am working for the FIEC.
I thought you were going to say Muhammad Ali then.
No, it was slightly more. Well, anyway, we won't get into that story right now. What do we mean by media? Joel, just help us understand that a little bit. Perhaps some people's minds immediately go to kind of stuff that's happening online. Other people will immediately think, you know, local TV station, for example. Mm. What do we mean when we talk about local media?
Media is messages. So someone sends a message from one place to another. So traditionally in the past, it would be the big broadcasters, the newspaper that prints millions and then sends it across the country. They've got a message. They send their message through their newspaper to all the people. And then that's kind of developed. So it's gone into television. So the TV will have a message and they'll send it through television to the people. And then you get the big broadcasters. So BBC, of course, were the main ones. You've got the commercials that Phil knows all about. Mm. Who will make money out of sending particular messages. And that's where it starts to get a little bit...
Yeah, complicated.
Complicated, yeah. That's right. Yeah, because they've got to send the messages, they'll get the money. So you got to always be a bit careful. So newspapers is the very traditional one. It goes into television. So you'll have the news and all sorts of other things on BBC, ITV, Channel 4, and the hundreds of channels now that you could find. Mm. And then, of course, the most recent one would be internet media. Yeah. So a lot of the newspapers can't sell the newspapers anymore because no one wants to read anything on a piece of paper. They want to look on their tablet or their computer. So a lot of them have now moved onto the internet as well and subscription methods and things like that. But it's also, the internet is also an equalizer. So in Lincoln, in my experience, there was a great website called The Lincolnite, which was hyperlocal. So it was a really great website and they were journalists specifically for Lincoln. And because it was so niche, it was different to anything out there. And it really connected with people. But then, of course, they become a very, very big, big thing in Lincoln. And yeah, there's all sorts of people going on. They've got a message to tell and they want to send it in all different ways. Newspapers, radio, television, online, all sorts. And then we can go into social media, which is a whole nother ball game.
Yeah. And we will in just a short while.
It's just worth saying, just to defend the commercial stations just for a moment, there are sort of standards that you have to adhere to when you're in the media. So it's not like it's a free for all on commercial because they've got to make money. There is still Ofcom, other regulators that would make sure that the messages were not causing any kind of problem and that kind of thing. There is a legal basis on which you put your messages out. So yeah, just to stand in the commercial corner there for a second. There
it's
are
not
still
Radio
standards.
Caroline,
no,
is it?
No,
it's
exactly.
Kind of on the ship. Yeah.
There are standards. The first question we'd be asked every week in team meeting was, is there any Ofcom issues? That is something that would happen on a week-to-week basis that could disrupt things. So there are standards still.
Now, Phil, I've kind of got this vision of the local newsroom, you know, a bustling local newspaper with 50 journalists, all with a fag in their hand, pint of beer. You kind of think, how on earth can a church engage with that sort of, huge enterprise? Is that what local media is like?
I think it's worth saying it used to be. So I think there was a time when there would be, at every kind of radio station and newsroom, there would be multiple journalists working on multiple stories. But inevitably, as there has been more and more media outlets and more people demanding that attention, that's obviously been streamlined. So what you end up with now is much fewer kind of centralized newsrooms, particularly in sort of local radio and local newspapers, and actually perhaps only one or two journalists who are covering a huge patch and essentially churning out stories multiple times for different sort of expressions of local media. But it's not the case to say the local paper you get through your door, there are not 50 journalists sat behind that who are producing the content for it. More likely, there is a couple of journalists who are producing content, not just for that local paper, but maybe for lots of other local papers as well. There's a sense in which it's all been streamlined. That's the same that's happened in commercial radio as well. There used to be multiple journalists across multiple sites. Now there are much fewer journalists across fewer sites. For example, some of the news you hear on a local radio station might not be coming from the locality that's broadcasting to. It might come from 50 miles away. And that was all down to kind of the financial crash in 2008. And that streamlining took place even further. So there are fewer and fewer jobs for people in media. I think I read a stat, Joel, you might know this as well. I think something stupid like there are more media studies courses in the country than there are jobs in the media. More media studies courses than
courses.
Than there are jobs in the media, which is an extraordinary thing to say. But if you take every school that does it at A-level or GCSE or whatever it is, there are actually more courses for people to study than there are jobs in the media.
So we've left the glory days behind.
That was fair.
Phil, that's an opportunity for churches locally in terms of producing content, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. So I think what you've got in reality is you have got a very small number of people receiving multiple messages from multiple directions. They're having to streamline that and sort of put it through a funnel to decide what makes it into their newspapers or into their news bulletins. They're getting dozens and dozens of emails, letters every day, and they've got to try and funnel that into something relevant. So you've got an opportunity to stand out and to help that journalist to say, oh, hang on, that's a story about the location I'm covering, and that is something that I can easily turn into copy for my newspaper. Mm. It's not just something that's churned out from a PR firm. It's actually
just explain what copy
story.
Is.
So, sorry, copy is the stuff that you write or the stuff that
so
you
content,
broadcast.
Essentially.
Content, essentially.
Yeah, okay.
So they can turn it into something more quickly. And if you have put your location in there, your locality, if you are genuinely something different, that is going to stand out because they're getting reams and reams of stuff that's coming from big PR firms just to try and essentially put sort of what we call puff pieces into the news, which are just essentially adverts.
We've got an example of that, haven't we? We just locally, it's a kind of a story that's personal to you and I, Phil. We've just had a new pastor appointed at the church. And we wrote a little article for the local press and we sent it into them.
Yeah.
They pretty much printed it verbatim.
Yeah, almost. Absolutely. So they only changed a few sort of words in it here and there, really. And it was excellent. So I interviewed the new pastor. There were some quotes from him in there.
Sorry, the article was excellent. You wrote it.
No. It was excellent that they printed it almost verbatim.
It was also, Phil, an excellent article.
Well, there we are. But the reality is we were able to put some quotes into the article. We sent it to the local newspaper. And as you say, yeah, they printed it for us. And the reason they did is because it was something that was local interest, something that was new and something that was first. We can perhaps talk a little bit about that. There are some tips and tricks to help you to stand out from the crowd. But yeah, it was something we were
able to come back to the tips and tricks. I mean, Joel, it seems to me there's a great opportunity here for churches, actually, who want to get a message out. I mean, we're going to have to, we have to be careful. We can't just send in an article that says, here's the gospel. But in terms of promoting things that the church are doing, and perhaps, Christmas events, Passion for Life events, there's a great opportunity here, isn't there?
Yeah, those annual things like Christmas and Easter and summer holidays and all that kind of stuff, all the local media, especially local, have their roundups. Here's all the things to do at Christmas. Here's all the things to do at Easter. Here's all the things to do in the summer holidays, half term, all that kind of stuff. So if you can link in an activity that you're doing in your church to something like that, send it in to the people, then they're like, great, you've done a job for us. We don't have to do the research ourselves. Mm-hmm. You told us what it is. We can add it into ours. And then we've got stuff for our people to read. So that's a really good
opportunity. So is it better to get things like that in before the event rather than after? So for example, I mean, I could write a report, couldn't I, of, a holiday Bible club or something, but that's going to be less value, isn't it, than saying, here's a holiday Bible club coming up?
I would say so, because the media want it to be useful to people who are reading and watching, because otherwise, if it's useful, they're going to read and watch again in the future. So if you can be as helpful and useful to general public as possible, then that's the best way to do something, I would say.
Right. That's really helpful, because that's events-based. So if you've got an event coming up that you can advertise, you always want to do that beforehand. And the example with our pastor, that would have actually have worked after the event, because actually it's ongoing. So it's a moment in time which he's still going to be the pastor in the weeks to come. So actually that still works. But yeah, when it comes to, say, Christmas services, local newspapers will just print those.
Yeah.
So if you've got a carol service and you let the local media know, they would put it in that kind of roundup article, I think.
Go on, Joel.
So I have a good example of another ministry that a church is doing that you can latch onto. So for example, another one in Lincoln, there is a problem with homelessness in the city, and everyone's thinking, well, how can we do it? And trying to say, do we just try and get rid of the homeless people? No, that's not the right thing. But then it's such a complicated issue. But there was a local church who were doing a specific ministry to homeless people. They were offering breakfast and bringing them into the church building and drawing alongside them and doing really great work. And then suddenly that was a really great opportunity for them to say, hey, there's this topic that's important to the local people. Here's something that we're doing to engage with it. And then, of course, the gospel comes into it, because why are you doing this? Well, it's because we want to show the love that we know from Jesus to those around.
Absolutely. I guess you've got to have a sense of realism. You might put in at the end, we're doing this because, we believe that Jesus came into the world and loves and saves, and so we want to bring this gospel of great news to people. They're likely just to edit that out, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so. I think we've got to be really careful that we understand what the media is there for. So I've sat in conversations like this before. I remember doing a men's evening with a church, and essentially one of the guys chastised me and the guy I was hosting it with because we didn't broadcast the gospel every time we put the fader up to read the news. And that's really not what we're there for. We're there to read the news. We're there to do our job. We're not there to share the gospel through that medium. So you've got to bear that in mind as well. I think it's really important that you use that wisely and sensibly, and actually build up a rapport with your local newspapers, your local free papers, your local magazines.
How might you do that?
Well, I think it's just about drip feeding things in that are interesting to them, and make sure that you are affirming of the work that they do. So I think it's hard work being a journalist, actually. It's really difficult to just continually go through all the churn. And actually, when you are told you've done a good job, that's actually a nice thing to hear. Well, you know that if you're a pastor listening to this, you know that it's great to hear affirmation after you've preached. It's the same thing if you're working as a journalist. You're constantly putting things into the public domain.
So you're building up a relationship with a local journalist, an email every now and again, enjoy the latest issue of the paper, for example.
That kind kind of thing would be great. But I think it's just to caveat that slightly, there's high staff turnover in some of these places. So it might be that you're building a relationship with someone and they're not there anymore. And also it's important to say that you could become annoying and people are busy. But I think just drip feeding in those interesting stories, interesting local things that you're doing. So have you got a stall at the Christmas market? Are you doing an Easter egg hunt for the kids? Are you doing a holiday Bible club in the summer? Those kind of things are interesting and actually help to serve the community.
And should leaders of local churches be accessing local media themselves regularly, Joel? It's not just something to use, is it? It's something to engage with more broadly.
Yeah, I think the local media will have their finger on the pulse of what's important for the community and what people are interested in, because that's going to be the thing they want to read. So being able to understand that from your culture, it's very, very easy to kind of get stuck in the church bubble and then not be able to see what else is going on. That's a really helpful thing, because your congregation and your members are going to be those people who are interested in those topics. So if there's something specific or something really important that's going on, potentially that's something that needs to be addressed from the front, or maybe it's something that's going to cause pastoral issues down the line. So I think that's really important to do. So
buy your local paper.
Certainly. Follow the feeds on their websites. Listen to the local news, the local BBC and things like that.
And Phil, we've talked a little bit here about press, especially, and we're thinking about local papers. Is the same true local radio, perhaps even local TV?
I think so to a point. I think local radio is much more streamlined than it used to be. So I think you're in a situation now where the news is not as local as it once was.
So they're taking a central feed.
It's not as local as it once was on commercial radio stations. What is worth looking out for is if you've got local community stations. So here in Market Harbour, we've got Harbour FM. I think I'm right in saying that's a community station. I could be wrong. Forgive me if I am.
I kind of want you with your radio voice to go close to the microphone and say Harbour FM.
Harbour FM.
Brilliant.
Thank you. But I think
this episode is worth it just for that. By the way, I think
they are the sort of the local stations like that, the community radio stations, they're run by volunteers, and what that means is that they want to be as uber local as possible. So you're much more likely to be able to get a foot in the door there. And actually, people who live in local communities, they want local. They don't necessarily want a centralized feed. So I think what we're finding, certainly with commercial radio, is people are tuning into big commercial stations because they want to listen to the music that they play, but actually they're not tuning into them for the local information in the way they used to. And that's much more driven now, I think, on the ground by community stations. So there might be things like that in your area, and that would be a great to build up a relationship with. It's more difficult with television because you need something brilliantly visual, but that doesn't mean it's impossible. So for example, if at Christmas you do, say, you've got Mary and a donkey walking through the streets or something like that, is it to lead to a crib service or something similar? That's the sort of thing, isn't it, Joel? That's like really visual.
Yeah, totally. Something that they can show that's going to give them a story without having to say anything. That's what TV's built for, really.
Correct.
It's pictures, 1,000 words, but a video is 1,000 pictures, and that's 1,000 words, 1,000 times, million.
Oh, that's deep. I'm not sure I can cope with that.
Video, do it.
So I mean, Harbour FM's interesting, just a thing local, because I've seen them along. Mm. So I used to live in, you don't anymore, but used to live in a village that had an annual kind of day.
Yeah.
And I've seen Harbour FM there with their outside broadcast, I hasten to call it unit, outside broadcast transit, it is.
Oh, it's a small mini HTV, I think.
Okay,
there you go.
And if you've got a family fun day at church, you can invite them along, couldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And they may well come along. Absolutely right. So I think they are looking for local content.
Yeah.
And if you can help to provide that local content, that's all to the good.
So tips then, you said there are a couple of tips, tricks of the trade, so to speak. Mm-hmm. What sorts of things should we be thinking about in terms of getting stuff into the local media?
Can I talk about the 5 W's?
Wow.
So get a pen.
It sounds like you're prepared.
Yeah, get a pen. Who, what, when, why, where? Who, what, when, why, where. It's really important that you get that into the top line of anything you send to the local media, whether that is press, radio, or television. So they want to know who are you talking about, what is that person or church doing, when is that happening, where is it happening, and why is it happening. You've got to try and get that into your top line. So the reasons why something is happening is as important as what's happening. But the 5 W's is a great kind of principle tip, because a journalist will get hundreds of emails a day and they might read the first couple of sentences. So if you can get all that into your first sentence, he or she will then want to read on because they know it's actually relevant to the patch that they're covering. So who, what, when, why, where. If you take nothing else from this podcast about engaging, particularly with traditional media, the five W's is a great top tip.
I'd say thinking about personal stories would be quite important as well. Of course,
yeah, tell us more about that. Yep.
As long as a person is happy to have their story told. Personal stories are really powerful for people. And you'll find if you flick through a newspaper, look on internet feeds, it's full of people and what's happened to someone, how has their life changed, what have they gone through, and who supported them and all that kind of stuff. So if there's a real great personal story that you've got in your church that's going to put out what you're doing in your church, in the community, that's going to be able to tell that story through a person, then that's something really helpful to think about.
Great. And a very practical question, word count, if you're sending something into local press, yeah, not 1,000 words.
Not 1,000 words. I try and keep it to a side of A4 at the absolute maximum, and not like font size 8, but font size 10 or 12.
Okay. Double spaced.
I mean, 300 words is an ideal length. You can go a little bit longer than that. And going back to the personal story element, that's a great thing to put further down your kind of what I'll call a press release. Is a quote from the protagonist, who is the who in your top line, because that is then the personal story. So when we did the piece about our new pastor, of course we had quotes from the pastor in the article. It would have been daft not to. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to put you both on the spot now. 2022 is the FIEC's 100th anniversary.
It is.
Formed in 1922. Mm. We're a local charity. We operate in Market Harbour, so it happens to be where FIEC Towers is. Mm. Call it FIEC Towers. It's just the two floors. FIEC Towers, located in Market Harbour. How can we make something of that with a local press? Is that an opportunity to get something out? What do you think, Phil?
I think yes and no. I'm probably more leaning towards no than yes. And I only say that because we've not always been based here. So it's not true to say
it's that not we're a kind a, of big yeah, local interest
we're,
story
exactly,
in that
so,
way.
So we're not a Market Harbour charity since 1922. We've been in Harbour, I think, since 2005, which means we've not quite got the history in the town. And there are some big name businesses from this town. So Jules, the big clothing brand, is a Market Harbour business. And they make huge amounts of hay with that, quite rightly, and say this is we're true to our roots, and this is why we're based here, and this is important to us. I don't think we can quite say that about the FIEC, but that's not to say the 100th anniversary is not important. But there'd probably be more creative ways of promoting it than going down that kind of local angle.
That's helpful. So what I'm taking from that actually is we do need a sense of realism about the ways that we're trying to connect. You know, I think if we, for example, think we're going to be able to get a story in the paper every week, it's just unrealistic, isn't it?
I think so, unless you've got interesting things to say every week. Now, of course, the gospel's interesting. We want the gospel to go out every week. We want to do that from our pulpits. We want to do that in our church gatherings. But I think we need to be realistic that unless we've got interesting local content that's happening every week, we will struggle to do that. And ultimately, you'd then be competing against all the other people who are doing that. So your local politicians, your local councils, they're all throwing things into the local media mix every week. So you'd be competing with this.
So let me just throw that back at you. So let's say our local MP, we invite him along to a birthday lunch for the FIEC. That's a slightly different story then, isn't it?
Correct. I think that's when you're being really creative then about how you are seeking to report it. So you're not suddenly saying, here's a charity based in Harbour that's 100 years old, which perhaps falls over when you dig into it. But what you're saying is the local MP has attended a celebratory gala lunch or whatever it might be, and that's a slightly different angle. So then you're reporting the 100th anniversary, but it's not the top line in quite the same way, because you're reporting an event that's part of it.
Yeah. And do you agree with Phil?
Yes,
that's good.
I would say anniversaries is a really good idea, actually. Yeah, to be fair, whether it's FIEC, of course, that's a big thing for us next year. But if your church has a particular anniversary, a 25, 50, 7500 coming up, then that's a great local story, because another one, local history, is really helpful, especially if you've got old photos to send in alongside the new photo of how has the place changed. That's a really good story. Yeah, that absolutely. I think people
roll,
would be interested
roll call
in.
Of pastor on the wall. So if churches have got to 100 years, 125 years, and perhaps they keep a record of all the men who've pastored the church over the years. There's all sorts of ways you can be creative with it. But I totally agree with that. Anniversaries are a great opportunity.
We're slightly running out of time, so let's just press on to new media. Joel, what do we mean by new media?
new media would be the internet really is the biggest technological advance. But as I said earlier on, the internet has equalized media for anyone. So in the past, the BBC were the kind of national government-backed big broadcaster, and they were the only one who could really reach the whole of the country. But now I can get my phone out, go on Twitter, and I've reached however many people who are going to be able to see it. So that's what the new media is. And I think especially it means that it's equalized, and it's a great opportunity for churches, because before maybe the church in the 50s getting a local church into a national BBC is it's just never going to happen really. But now there's a great opportunity because of the internet and because of the new media that is so available to different people, and because anyone can really make a media that anyone can send their own message out there. It's a big opportunity for churches.
So what's that going to look like? Just paint us a picture. So let's make it specific. Let's think about next Easter, Passion for Life. Got some, you know, really exciting events planned in the church. What might engagement through new media look like for a church?
Yeah, well, the new media is not only the broadcasters, but how people are receiving the media as well. And the general population will now be online, really, although newspapers and radio and TV, as we said, are a big part of that. So if you can think about who do I want to reach with my events for Easter, where are they going to be, and where are they going to get their media from? It could be Facebook, for example, or it could be Instagram. So you've got to think, okay, well, how can we get our message to those people where they're at on Facebook and Instagram? So Facebook advertising, for example, is a really great way to target people locally.
So in fact, Facebook, there's a story, Phil, isn't there, on the website about Mike Judge,
yeah,
wasn't
Mike,
it?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Mike Judge did that for us. It was really helpful in terms of how you use Facebook advertising effectively. You find that on the website.
I think they used it for a kids club, didn't they?
Yeah, a Holiday Bible Club, yeah, something like that, yeah. I think, yeah. And they were able to very specifically target it to those in the area who had children under the age of such and such.
Sorry, I interrupted you, Joel.
I was going to say exactly what you said. You can target down to the very specific location, to a specific type of people, families, or are they older people, or whatever it might be. You can do all sorts of things like that. And that's what new media is. And that's how you can really get your message to the people who want to hear it, rather than in a newspaper where it's on one page out of 90, and then it only reaches X amount of people. So the opportunities are great.
It's probably a whole other podcast on how terrifying that is as well.
Yes, quite. Phil, just a question on that. You know, most FIC churches are kind of in the medium-sized bracket. In a smaller or medium-sized church, that all feels a bit overwhelming, kind of thing that, you know, a large church might be on top of, with kind of lots of young adults, perhaps. Perhaps in my small to medium church, it just feels a bit like, whoa, you know, I can't employ someone to do that. I can't possibly do that. Is it completely out of reach for a smaller to medium church?
I don't think so, because I think the principles remain the same. So I think you've just got to have a go. And I think this idea that you need to employ somebody or find some sort of expert who can do that for you, stick to the principles we've talked about, the 5 W's, those personal stories, and crafting something based on that is a really good starting point. And after all, most preachers are storytellers in some way. That's exactly what we do when we stand in the pulpit and we preach God's word. We are talking about the wonderful ways in which the Bible applies to life. And that's not dissimilar to what we're doing when we do that kind of thing. You just got to do it in a written form, perhaps, rather than an orated form.
It's interesting that where I live in Harper, we live on a kind of new estate, one of these slightly anonymous, bland new estates that get panned in the press all the time. But it has its own identity. And interestingly, we have our own Facebook page. Yeah. And in a world actually where Facebook usage is dwindling, the community group part of Facebook is actually growing, and it's very vibrant, kind of people just often complaining about stuff, frankly, and dogs especially. It all went off yesterday, I tell you, when someone posted a comment about a dog. It all kicked off on our local Facebook page. But actually, Johnny Prime and I, who live on the same estate, we've put stuff there that church is doing. And it's quite a good way actually just to engage individuals to engage. It doesn't require someone specifically in the church, does it, to be working on it?
Yeah, someone who already does that. So if there's someone who uses Facebook and they enjoy it, then that's the perfect person to say, well, how about would you be interested in doing this kind of thing? And that kind of local community Facebook groups is a great example of thinking, where are the people we want to reach? Let's go to where they are, and they're in that Facebook group. So why don't we join in?
Yeah, great. Phil, some last tips. So I'm a local church leader. I'm not doing anything about this at the moment. One or two things that I could just take on board, take away, and perhaps put into practice, simple things.
So I think look at the calendar, look at the things that are in the diary, and work out what of these can I look to my local press, local media to help support or indeed to let them know about. Don't let things pass and then think as an afterthought, oh, if only we'd put that out into the local media. You know, could you put adverts in the local papers? Could you pay for leaflets to be put in the local papers that get pushed through people's doors? That's a much cheaper way than you might think of getting your message into people's homes. And it's better than asking all your members to sort of flyer estates and stuff. It's not ridiculously expensive. You could look at that kind of thing. There's always ways of doing it.
We just a little story about that. We, in the middle of lockdown, we had our first in-person service at Easter, and we recorded a local radio advert to be used on our commercial radio station. We provided a script. They basically provided the voiceover. They got someone to do it for us. It cost us £100, I think. Yeah. And it was put out quite a few times. And you could hear it actually on the radio as an advert.
Yeah.
And we were surprised how cheap it was. Mm-hmm. But actually, how professionally they put it together and how quickly it was put together. Really quite surprising, I think, but very effective.
Absolutely. So it's not as expensive as you think. So it's well worth looking into.
Joel, any last tips from you?
Yeah, just quickly on that one. With the social media advertising, you can start by £1, and it'll reach like 50 people maybe. So that one, again, is great for kind of just want to do little baby steps. But I think the main thing I would say is to kind of think long term. So even if you manage to do one, if you get something into the local paper or whatever it might be, and you don't really see anything back from it, well, that's okay, because it's a drip feed. And if there's a few things, and even if they kind of cut out your gospel part, it's a drip feed. The church is getting out there to people, and you never know, down the line, you might be like, oh, I heard about that church. I've got something that's going on in my life. Okay. I need to go to them. And it's just kind of the drip feed in the back of their heads.
And so it's also cumulative, isn't it? So you're describing, so actually you build over time.
Certainly. And it might be the radio and then the newspaper and then a social media thing. And it just kind of builds up and builds up and builds up. I'd probably say as well, if you're writing something and sending it off, pray as you do it. It might seem a bit weird sending an email and praying.
But you never know. You might think it's never going to do anything, but you never know what God might do with that email.
Absolutely. And make sure you get into the media for the right reasons, but that's probably another podcast again.
Joel, thanks very much for your help. Phil, thanks very much for your help. My name's Adrian. Thank you for joining us on Independence, the FIEC podcast. Look forward to joining with you next time.
See you next time.